It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. It's 48 degrees on Peachtree, and it's warming up. It's going to be a nice day today. Good morning. Phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Here we are in the twilight of another government shutdown. We will talk about what that means for markets. But before we do that, I want to get back into probably one of the biggest and most important arguments that I've seen in public recently on one of the financial news channels. And the reason I'm bringing this up today, because I think it's it paints a real picture on what so many Americans are confused about. So many investors are confounded by, where do we go from here? Here we are, the beginning of 2018. It feels like the year's barely begun. There's really not been that many trading days, especially if you're here in the state of Georgia, where kids have been out of school. It's truly been winter here in the Southeast. Feels as though the year has barely even started, yet the Dow's up 5.5% already. I mean, in some years, that's not a bad year. S&P 500 up 5.1%. Where do you go? How do you top that, or how do you follow it up? And again, on the eve of a nice reminder that Congress can't get along, can't fund themselves, can't come to an agreement, and here we are all waiting in the lurch, watching, waiting, what's going to happen? And we got these government shutdowns get taken care of. And really, that's, I don't want to be anticlimactic about these government shutdowns, but let me just quickly go over that. And I want to get to this analyst war on CNBC. I'm going to play a clip. I play in the 9 o'clock hour for those new of you new tuning in. It's a quick 2 minute clip, and I'll talk you through why it creates this really important debate. And I'll decode what these two heavyweight analysts are fighting about, really the direction of the economy, the direction of the stock market. But first, here we are, the government shut down. We don't know when it's going to reopen. But remember, and let's go back and look at some performances. In a worst-case scenario, we've seen this. You've got to go back into the 70s when there were a whole bunch of government shutdowns. The S&P 500 in 1976 was down 3.2% during a government shutdown. In 77, it happened again, it was down 3.1%. Ooh. In 1977... government shutdown, the stock market was actually up about a little less than 1%. If you look at 1982, government shutdown, market up 1.5%. 1983, market up almost 1.5%. 1984, government shutdown. These are government shutdowns and funding gaps. So there's kind of a combination of the two. 1984, government shutdown / funding gap, down 2.5%. So the reaction, and in 2013, we had a government shutdown, the market was up 3%. So these government shutdowns, they're very unnerving, and they're frustrating, and they're scary for investors. And as soon as you see, and this happened throughout this past week, when progress, when we saw the lack of progress, it kind of took some of the shine off otherwise very, very strong markets. So the market doesn't love it. It's not as though we rejoice on government shutdowns, but it also is absolutely not a market killer. And we've seen that for decades and decades, for 40 plus years, that it is not the item that's going to bring down the S&P 500. It's uncomfortable. We don't like to see it. I don't want to dismiss it. But historically, for 40 years, in some cases, markets have actually risen during these government shutdowns. Because remember, when the government shuts down, it has to reopen. Just like when we have bad weather, we have hurricanes, we have destruction, we rebuild, we have pent-up demand, government shuts down, has to reopen. Most of that money ends up getting spent, ends up being pent up. And eventually goes back into the economy. So that's why the stock market usually looks through these shutdowns. So as much news as we're going to hear about the shutdown, it is interesting, and we want our government to run, for goodness sake, it is not going to be a major component for equity markets. Now, let me go back to a bigger, more important discussion at hand today. And that's this fascinating debate between Thomas Lee and Mike Wilson, two Wall Street heavyweights. I've already gone into their bios, are the MBAs from these great schools, and one's from Wharton and one's from Kellogg School, and they're at the top of their game, 25 plus years. One was the chief equity strategist at J.P. Morgan for many years, now running his own firm. The other still currently at Morgan Stanley. Bright guys, and they make really important points. But the debate here goes back to the same question that you and I have been wondering, and I wonder about every single day, and I want to give you an answer today in this 10 o'clock hour of where I come down on this issue. But the question is, here we are, as markets have done so well, where do we go from here? Is this the very end of the cycle, late stage? We talk about economic cycle. Remember, you come out of a recession, you have an expansionary period of time that lasts for a particular number of years, depending on what the cycle looks like. The economy starts to heat up, gets a little frothy, and then it cycles back down as people lose jobs and creates the next recession and then the next recovery. And that night, and that's the cycle. When I say the economic cycle, that's this progression that I'm talking about. Where are we? Are we in the beginning, middle, or end of that? Because it matters for markets. The debate that we have uncovered, I'm going to play for you right now, goes to this very important discussion. The clip you're going to hear, it starts out with Thomas Lee, who talks about an equity market that he thinks actually has another 11 years of upside, where the other commentator, Mike Wilson, thinks we're close to the end of the cycle. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
It's important for investors to think long term. And I think if you think long term, the things that really end up being risk for stocks is misallocation of capital. Like, is the economy over allocating to low return projects? And I think what we've seen is, look, we've had so much caution since 2009 that animal spirits have been depressed. Now we're starting to see the surveys, small businesses, ISMs improve, and there's a lot of pent up demand. So I think it is tough to say where we are in the cycle. I think it's closer to mid cycle. Like, if you look at housing starts, even auto sales, and investment to GDP ratios, and then you look at global sort of business cycle, it seems mid-cycle. So I think it's important to think long-term, and, you know, long-term, you know,
you're suggesting that we're, say, in the fourth or fifth inning of a bull market?
Yes. I mean, I think it's interesting. So, you know, we do a lot of long-term work, both myself and Rob Slimer, but I think both of us think it's more like 2029 is the peak of this equity market cycle. And then, you know, the S&P is, you know, 6,000 to 15,000. So, you know, I think it's just important to be long-term oriented right now.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
And here's where the disagreement comes in.
But from a cyclical bull case, I don't agree with that at all. And I think it's pretty clear to us that we're late cycle from an economic standpoint. So the two things I would point to is the unemployment rate. I mean, we're 4.1%. We're 50
basis. Could have a three handle on it, according to some, soon.
Right. So what does that mean? There's not a lot of labor left. And that's really the key ingredient for calling an economic slowdown. When you run out of labor, costs go up, and then basically that's when companies fire people. And that's what causes an economic slowdown. That doesn't mean the secular bull market is over. But to kind of make the suggestion that we have two or three more years left in this cyclical sort of expansion, I think it's very misplaced.
Wow, very misplaced. See, these guys, that's like a real argument on live television. These guys almost got out. It was almost a full blown brawl on the set. So here's the reasoning between these two. So again, this argument is one saying, look, we got 11 years to go. Thomas Lee saying we're going to 6,000 in the S&P or 15,000 in 11 years. That would equate to another 7.1% rate of return all the way to 16.5% per year from here on average. That's a big deal. But his reasoning is that the economic data is mid-cycle. And that's this whole analogy of fourth or fifth inning. What does mid-cycle mean? Well, if you look at housing starts and you look at auto sales and other data points. Wage growth is another one at 2.5%. Interest rates still under way under normal levels. Then, and if you look at some of these charts, as I pulled, housing starts, if you look from 2000 to 2007, stayed around the 1.75 million mark. Today, we're well south of, we're around 1.1, 1.2. So we got a long way to go for these major economic data points to get back to where they were before the recession. We have not fully recovered. Hence, mid-cycle, meaning, hey, there's a ways to go before we get back to where we were. There's also, he also brings up the point that bonds face headwinds and baby boomers may increase their allocation to U.S. equities or just stocks in general over the next several years, over the next decade. And that animal spirits, which I think is an important point, are still to some extent depressed. But we're starting to see some of that change. We're starting to see some small business owners and so the small business community have more optimism. And these surveys, so the soft data of, hey, how do we think we're going to fare over the next year, start to improve. And that long term, and that's the key to understanding this argument, the year 2029, that is his call for the peak in the stock market cycle. On the other side of the coin here, in what Wilson is saying, is that in the short run, and that's part of the disconnect between these two, one's really talking about the next decade, the other's talking about the next couple of years. He's saying, hey, it's pretty clear to us that we're in the late economic cycle because we already have the unemployment rate so low. There's not a lot of people left to go get jobs. So when that happens, we get towards the end of the cycle. And that's why he's saying, I think it's misplaced that we're going to continue to run here. This is the window that creates so much confusion. And here it is. Number one, you've got this, and here's why it's confusing. Number one, we've got long-term versus short-term versus economy, economic cycle, cyclical, secular. Hey, what do you pay attention to? All that jargon gets confusing. What does it mean for your investments? What stage are we in? Is my outlook, what is your outlook? Do you have a long horizon, a short horizon, somewhere in between? So we're gonna decode this debate until through the rest of this 10 o'clock hour. And I want you, I really listened to this argument several times to figure out what they're really arguing about. And again, two very smart individuals with their opinions on this market, we're gonna figure out which one really has the most merit so that you can take away from today, where do you go from here? You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me and our team online at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. As we decode this debate, where do we head from here? Heavyweight analysts duking it out over where they think the economy is headed. I'm going to weigh in, of course, as well. So, If you're just tuning in, we just played a clip of two highly regarded Wall Street guys. They're fighting over which part of the economic cycle they think we're in. If you really listen to the argument, they actually do agree on the secular outlook versus the cyclical outlook. And this is always a little confusing. It might be very confusing when you use these two words, cyclical and secular. They sound pretty similar, but they're vastly different. One is long-term, one short-term. But linguistically, they're kind of similar. It almost makes them contronyms, like buckle, which one meaning is to fasten together, the other is to break down or break apart, like sanction. One meaning is to grant approval, the other is to condemn or penalize. Yet these two words in investing have very different connotations. So cyclical means short-term, secular, long-term. And that they throw these words around, and if you don't understand exactly what they mean, it makes the whole debate super confusing. And we're going to talk exactly about this as soon as we get back from quick news, weather, traffic, more Money Matters, straight ahead. Decoding this great Wall Street debate. And we're about to get to the meat of this. We got to do quick first weather with Luke Moss here today. Luke, what's the weather, man?
Today's weather, sunny. Yes, sunny. A high near 65 degrees. Winds will be light. Tonight, a low of around 45. Enjoy this warm, awesome day. Back to you, Dad.
Oh, thanks, bud. Yeah, this is a football day outside. It's exciting. It's more than just outside. So good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. All right, so we've been talking today, and I want to get to this, about this disagreement, effectively, with two heavy-hitter Wall Street analysts. One saying, look, I think that we're close to the end of this cycle and the market has kind of seen its best days. The other says, hey, we got 11 years left to run higher. What? So it's obviously it's going to be confusing for most folks listening, because you've got two smart guy A basically saying, hey, the good ride's almost over. Smart guy B saying that the current run up has legs, room to run, and lots of runway in the next 11 years. So confusion sets in. Long term versus short term. They're talking economy, economic cycle, cyclical, secular. What do you pay attention to? So first off, if you really listen, I'm going to decode this debate right now. If you really listen to the argument, they do agree on the secular outlook versus cyclical. And again, we just talked about how it's important to understand those two words. And they're a little bit confusing. They kind of sound alike, but pretty simply, cyclical means short term, what's about to happen. So think of it soon or soonish. And secular is that's what's going to happen if you zoom out and you look at a longer period of time. Let's call cyclical 1 to 5 years. And let's call secular 5 to 20 years, usually. So notice and if you listen to the clip, Wilson or Mike Wilson says, I agree with the secular case. So he's saying he agrees on the long term, but from a cyclical bull case, I don't agree with that at all, is what he said. Secondly, it's the short run where they don't agree. It's really the short run where they disagree on. And quite frankly, they both have very solid arguments. I've discussed a very similar metric that the Morgan Stanley analyst talks about in regards to the economic cycle ending. One of the very best measures to understand when the economic cycle breaks and when the market starts to really go downhill is look in the list. I've talked about this on Money Matters many times. I look at wage inflation, which is a derivative of employment. When that gets to 4.5% due to a tight labor market, the economic expansion almost always ends. So higher wage, and think about the progression here. When by the time companies have to start raising wages because the labor market gets super tight, we go from 4% down to 3%. So virtually everybody that has a job or wants a job has a job. Now workers can demand more or higher wages. So those higher wages squeeze corporate profits. And then the big companies, their earnings get hit. And then when that happens, they lay off workers to try to increase their earnings. And then the unemployment rate goes up on a broader scale. Boom, we're in recession. That's how it ends. Or that's how the cycle ends. But wage inflation. So again, I agree with that. But wage inflation, even though unemployment's really low, that's great. But wage inflation's still only about 2.5%. Nowhere near 4.5%, which is the number where things start to go badly. So we are a long way from that. The other analyst makes several points, and this is Thomas Lee, makes several important points and gives evidence of this whole the cycle being more midterm, means that there's time left to expand. Housing starts. We've a long way to go before we get back to normal. We averaged about 1.75 million housing starts year after year after year after year. That dropped to close to 450,000 in the depths of a recession. And then it's been climbing back ever since. And now we're at about 1.2 million. So we have we're still, call it half a million shy run rate on housing before we even get back to normal. So housing is a long way to go. Inflation, I just talked about, wage inflation, still a long way to go. And remember, too, tax reform. Tax reform is just getting started. We should do a whole show on the benefits of tax reform that still haven't even really begun. So we're not going to know the answer to this debate until 2019. Because we won't know until the end of next year who was right over this next 2-year period. And in Lee's long-term view, of course, we're not going to know for another 11 years. So who knows even what the world's going to look like in 2029? In the meantime, the only thing we can and we should focus on is the long-term. That's what matters. The secular part of the argument, that's really what matters. Not what's going to happen in the next 6 months or a year. As smart as these guys are, they have no idea. Last year, I talked about an article series I did called Head West. It referenced the European explorers. Remember, this was not a precise group of gentlemen. They ended up all over North America, South America, Central America, but the direction they went worked. The journey paid off, and all because their general direction over the long run was right. Hey, we're going to head that way. We're going west. No matter if you went directly across or you went slightly northwest, you went directly west, you went southwest, either way you ended up on this side of in North America, or you hit Central America, or you hit somewhere closer to South America. Their direction was right. And the bottom line here, when you hear these arguments, they get into the weeds and they start to make you question, well, what should I be doing in my 401k? Maybe I should step back from this market. I still think the general direction for markets and for this U.S. economy is, if you look at a chart, northeast. That's the general direction for GDP, for equity markets, is northeast. At least as far as I'm concerned, that means the chart goes from the lower left to the upper right. That's the direction you want to see it. And if that's the case, then forget about this short-term argument. Forget about the spit-spat arguments that we see on TV. And we see these all the time. This one just happened to really catch my attention because it was two real heavyweights. They almost had the exact same job. And they had this really poignant disagreement on live television, which you don't necessarily see two heavyweights do that every day. You've got to ignore a lot of what you see on television, even if they're these heavyweights. They, nor you, nor I, know what's going to happen the next week or the next month or the next year. We just don't know. But we do have a good sense of the bigger, larger journey. That's what matters. And that direction, as far as I'm concerned, is continued expansion for a very long time. For a very long time. Here in the U.S. and many economies around the world. So that's what we're faced with. And as much as we get thrown around with government shutdowns, as many opinions that we hear about what you should be doing with your money, U.S., international stocks, bonds, we think about all the fear tactics that you hear out there. There's so much that gets thrown at you on a daily basis that it makes investing for the long run, it always makes it a challenge. And I think it's probably harder today than it's ever been, because there's more news media in your face that is more opinionated than it's ever been. So the media today, whether you watch Fox News or Fox Business, or you watch CNN or MSNBC, and those are two news organizations that are very much on opposite ends of the political spectrum. The political debate weighs heavily on what their analysis says for the economy. And what you should be worried about is trying to depoliticize economic news. Because if you look through this with a political lens, then you're always going to let your feelings about politics influence how you think the economy is going to do. And I've seen that go wrong many, many times. I've gotten lots of hate mail this year because saying that I think the economy is going to do well. Folks look at that and they say, well, you're saying the economy is going to do well because the tax cuts, and tax cuts are done by the GOP. Ipso facto, you must be a Trump lover supporter. How dare you? And again, there's a lot of different media outlets I contribute to. Obviously here, WSB Radio, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So there's a wide variety of folks reading that. And as much as I stay away from politics, what is now economics today is now construed of what your politics may be. So what I try to do and will continue to do on Money Matters is stay objective. And my objective opinion is, and this is, it's been this way since I've been, as long as I can remember in my entire life, the way I look at how large and small business will function. I will look at how the economics of individual families in America will function. And from what I can see over the next 2018, there are a lot of really strong economic tailwinds that haven't even taken off yet. You know, the list of companies that are giving out bonuses and raising wages, which is a permanent change, a structural change, those are massive fundamental changes that are just starting to happen. Paychecks in America haven't really even started to adjust yet. It won't be till February, till most families in America start to see higher paychecks. Walmart, how many people does Walmart employ in the United States? You probably say to yourself, I don't know, a couple hundred, 100,000, maybe 1.4 million jobs just in America. Imagine raising wages for that entire 1.4 million workers. That's not a rounding error. Those are real structural economic changes. And that's just beginning, as Walmart announced this only about a week and a half ago, raising wages for their worker population. You're going to continue to see that's almost corporate peer pressure. Hey, Walmart did this and Target did that. And all these banks did this for their workers. What are we doing? What are we doing for our people? So there's this positive peer pressure that I'm seeing on companies to do something with these tax cuts. And they're not doing it just for PR. They're doing it because they're investing in their worker base. They're investing in employment. And that keeps them competitive. So they're not doing it just out of love. They're not doing it out of benevolence. These aren't charitable organizations. They're doing it because it's good for the future of their business as well. And this new tax reform is allowing them to make some of these structural changes to invest in their workers. And I think that's a good thing in the economy. And it's just in the very beginning stages of starting to play out. Ryan Ely, do we have a prize pack? We'll go to quick news, weather, traffic, and then we'll come back. That's what we'll do. Quick news, weather, traffic, then we'll come back with a WSB weekend prize pack. You're listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. So big run-up, obviously. Last year, 22%. Another big run-up for this year. The Russell 3000 Index, which covers almost the entire U.S. market, call it 98-99% of the U.S. market, worth $30 trillion today. $30 trillion. Since Donald Trump elected, that's added about $6.5 trillion to the Russell 3000. That's about half. So just in this 1 year period of time, that's about half the entire gain that we saw under the Obama administration's 8 entire years. The other staggering number, Apple valued now at over $900 billion. That's $900 billion, getting close to a trillion, about 3% of the nation's total market cap. Ryan Ely, what's going on?
We have a weekend prize pack, and the prize pack is 4 tickets to the Great American Motorcycle Show, January 27th through the 28th at the Cobb Galleria Center, and a family 4-pack of tickets to the Atlanta Gladiators Hockey Fights Cancer Weekend, January 26th through the 28th at Infinite Energy Arena. This week's trivia question: I think everyone in Atlanta is a Jaguars fan today. hoping they take down the Patriots. And if the Jaguars win, the Super Bowl will feature two teams by default that have never won a Super Bowl. The last time that happened was the 2000 Super Bowl between the Rams and the Titans. Where was the 2000 Super Bowl played?
Ooh, I am not going to give that away. But that's the only Super Bowl I've actually attended a long time ago. And I'm not even going to say where it was because that's the question. The prize line, 404-741-0750. Again, 404-741-0750. As we wrap up today, remember that you're going to continue to see these arguments about where we head in markets, and you've got to understand that so much of this is just short-term conjecture. You've got to look through. What really matters is the long-term direction of the U.S. economy, the U.S. stock market. And I think that we're just getting started as some of these benefits from tax reform have barely made an impact yet, but will. Reach me and the Money Matters team. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Happy to answer your money questions, your investment questions. If you're getting ready to be an early retiree or a regular retiree, we're happy to help you through it. Again, at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned to WSB, best programming on the planet, for the rest of the day. Right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.